First order of business, however, we are joined right now by the U.S. men's national team head coach. He was named head coach in December of 2018. U.S. defeated Costa Rica last night 2-1 in Columbus. Currently second place, World Cup qualifying standings. He is a good friend of the program. Next match is against Mexico, November 12th in Cincinnati, of course. I'm speaking of Greg Berhalter. Greg, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good, dude. Good. Let's talk a little mindset really quickly, Greg. So,
you know it.
Yeah, take me back. Before last night's match, you were coming off that tough result in Panama. You had a quick turnaround, and then you had to play Costa Rica. What was your message to the team after the loss on Sunday, and then how'd you go about getting them ready for last night?
You know, it was a challenge to the team to respond. We coming into the window, it was always a one-game-at-a-time mentality. So how quickly do you push Panama out of the way and then refocus on Costa Rica? And, you know, to double down on that, you know, we gave up a goal in the first minute of the game, and now it's about, okay, how do we respond from not only a poor performance in Panama, but going down in the game really early against Costa Rica? And the guys did a fabulous job of staying poised and just focusing on the game plan.
Greg Berhalter is my guest. Of course, I was going there next. You did fall behind 1-0 in the first minute. When that happened, what went through your head? What were you thinking?
Just really trying to assess the next couple of minutes and see how what the body language was like, what the movement was like, how they're executing the game plan. You know, and I turned to the assistant coaches about 15 minutes in the game. I said, "We're fine. We got this because we're really playing well." And you know, even being down, we're confident we're going to get back into it.
Talking to Greg Berhalter, you know, you and I have talked about this in the past, that you've got a really young team, but you've talked about the resilience of the pool of players in the past. I know you're never looking to start a match like that, but what did you make of the way they kept their heads and the way they responded to taking that punch early on, especially given their youth?
You know, it was impressive. It was impressive that they just, you know, that the group just stuck to the plan and kept going and wasn't fazed by it. You know, maybe it was the consequence of giving up a goal so early that you know there's a lot of time to go. You know, maybe it's the fact that we've been through that before. You know, the Gold Cup final, the Nations League final, we gave up a goal in the first 2 minutes. But, you know, I can't speak highly enough about this group and how, you know, the qualifying is an absolute grind. Every game is a final. And these guys have been rolling with it and just battling through it, and it's been fun to see so far.
We're talking to Greg Berhalter. It's fun to talk about. Let me ask you about the 25th minute. Sergiño Dest had an absolute rocket of a goal from the edge of the box with his left foot. You've been around the sport a long, long time. You know what kind of talent he has. How special was that particular goal?
You know, we had a great vantage point. We were right behind him as he's shooting, and you just see it. And the goalie of Costa Rica is one of the best goalkeepers in the world. So when you hit a shot like that, you know, you're just hoping he doesn't pull out some magic and save it. But Sergiño is a top talent. I challenged him before this camp to be more offensive and really try to make an impact on the offensive end. And he had an assist and a goal in these three games. So, you know, really proud of his effort.
All right, so you've said it yourself, Greg, that this guy can be as good as he wants to be. When you see a goal like that, especially considering his shoe was untied, and then you see a performance like that, I mean, how good can he be, and does he know how good he can be?
You know, I think he's starting to learn that. Again, we're talking about a very young player who has a lot of experience at a high level, but still needs to understand that he can take it to an even a greater level, and he can be one of the best in the world. But for him, it's about just understanding that, embracing that, and then going after, attacking.
Let me ask you this. Like, it'd be easy to focus on that goal in the finish, but the build-up to that goal included 13 passes among 9 players over more than 30 seconds. How much pride is there for you, not just in that goal, but in the build-up to that goal?
It was a good game, a good performance, and it's really, when we're at our best, Jim, it's collective. And that goal typifies it. It was a great, great finish. But, you know, when you see the ball circulation, the movement by the guys, that's when we're playing our best soccer.
Talking to Greg Berhalter, talking about last night's win. All right, so overall, you were able to dominate possession. And then, Greg, in the 66th minute, Timothy Weah's ball found the back of the net. What did you make of that moment?
You know, Sergiño had another great pass behind the back line. We wanted to threaten their back line. We wanted to put them under pressure. we knew they had they had to take their goalkeeper off at halftime, so we knew that was going to be an advantage for us, and we wanted to put pressure on them. And you can't score if you don't shoot. And Timmy was in a great position, made a great run, and had a good finish and a near post goal. But just a great moment for me personally to be back in Columbus, where I was for 5 years in coaching and seeing all the fans, that came to the Crew games. It was a great moment, and collectively for the team, it was a great moment.
Yeah, and then when we talk about the collectively great moment for the team, I keep going back, Greg, to the youth, but another way of looking at the youth on the field last night is the fact that your oldest starter was younger than Costa Rica's youngest starter. So obviously the three points, that's wild, right? Like the three points are the most important thing, but how important is it for your young players to get this kind of experience?
It's crucial. I mean, we're playing a different game right now. We're playing, we're freshmen playing against post grads. That's literally what it is. But the guys are fearless, and the guys just stay focused on the moment. They don't get ahead of themselves, and they don't let the past affect them too much. So, listen, next window will be the same type of roller coaster, and so will the window after that and the window after that. Hopefully when we come out of this battle, we're in the top three spots and we're qualified for the World Cup.
We're talking to Greg Berhalter. I want to ask you about another guy, Ricardo Pepi. Didn't score last night, and at this point it almost feels like a shock, which is a crazy thing to say, right, about an 18-year-old with a handful of caps. But what is it about him that makes him so special and so unique?
He's a killer in the box. He's a pure finisher. I mean, he had a chance yesterday, this header that he tried early in the game. It's an instinctual type of play by him, and that's what he does. He anywhere around the goal, he smells blood and he goes for it. Really stays calm, is poised, really smart soccer player. He's another high-level player that we have.
All right, so when you talk about him and describe him that way, it kind of makes me think about you, and I want to ask you this. You took a lot of heat after the loss to Panama. Now, you know that goes with the job, but what's it like going from a 2-0 win over Jamaica when you're able to get some verticality, you got a good result despite playing without two of your best players, and then only a few days later, you have a tough result, and then suddenly everybody's outraged. How did you process that?
I ignore it, because that's not going to help us win against Costa Rica. And, after four games, we had the best start in the last 20 years of World Cup qualifying. And after the fifth game, we're the worst team in the world, and that's our business, unfortunately. But I also know that fans want to see us win. And I accept that. And Jim, we played like crap against Panama. We didn't play good. There should be responsibility for that. And I'm okay with it. That's the business. Ultimately we know what we're about internally, and that's what we continue to focus on.
See, I think that's exactly what that is, right? That is the business. There's some ownership in saying we didn't play well against Panama, but we're focused internally. And one more thing I would add to that, Greg, it was not that long ago that the U.S. could lose a qualifier, and not only was there not outrage, a lot of people wouldn't even notice or even care. So the fact that there is this kind of reaction and there is this kind of pressure, is it not a good thing? I mean, is this not a classic case of pressure feeling like a privilege?
I agree with that. I think that's right. And, the other thing I'd add is that, there's fear. There's fear in people's heads that we're not going to qualify because we didn't last time. And that residual effect of not qualifying is still hanging over the program. And we have to accept that. We have to take ownership of that.
Greg Berhalter, my guest for another moment or so. So you wrap up three qualifiers in less than a week. Now you've got some time before your next match, which is against Mexico on November 12th. How do you approach the next few weeks, and what are your early thoughts on that match in Cincinnati?
So first couple of days I'm unwinding, spending time with family. And then, as we get into Monday of next week, now it's go time. We start focusing on Mexico, which is going to be, our premier home game that we have in the window and in the whole qualifying series. And then we go away to a scrappy Jamaica team that just got a victory and is calling its way back into the picture. So, we'll prepare. The first thing is to see where our guys are at, see who's healthy, and chart their progress over the next 3 weeks. And then get ready to play, get ready to attack these teams.
Hey, Greg, lastly, you mentioned family. Since I kind of know the family a little bit, I'm really curious, what kind of an impact does it have on the family? I mean, are you still just dad and this is just dad doing work? Or are they kind of caught up in living and dying with each win and loss, although you're not doing that per se? You know what I'm getting at? Like, what's it done to your family dynamic?
You know, they're just 100% behind the team, and they put everything into each and every game, and they just love it. You know, Rosalind travels to as many games as she can, just in for the day. And then, you know, the family's watching. I mean, it's really special. You know, my extended family as well. Everyone's just so behind the whole thing.
That's great. And they're old enough to understand it and get the experience. I think that's just awesome. So the next match is Mexico, November 12th in Cincinnati. He is the head coach of the U.S. men's national team, Greg Berhalter. Greg, I really appreciate you coming on after that. I'm glad you got that win. Congrats. Enjoy the time, and I'll be looking forward to the next time we talk and seeing the guys play.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
My man, Greg Berhalter, joining us on the program. Good as always. Good friend of the program. Currently second place in the World Cup qualifying standings. And again, had to have that last night. Had to have it. Fall behind early on and get it done.